The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Now, you can get it through intravenous drug use, tattoos, multiple sex partners. Hepatitis C is a much misunderstood virus that has long had a stigma attached to it in this country. It's also described as a silent disease. Up to 20,000 people in Ireland may have hepatitis C, which can lead to severe liver damage and a shortened life. Now, to get a better insight, I'm joined now by a caseworker with the North Dublin Regional Drug Task Force and accredited addiction counsellor, Lara Murphy, who himself had hepatitis C, and Sophie, who's also recovered from the disease. Good morning and welcome. Lara, first of all, do you know how you contracted Hep C?
First of all, Pat, good morning. Thanks for having us here this morning. Yeah, my journey with hepatitis C started through my own active drug use, and it would have been in around the late 90s when I contracted hepatitis C.
How did you know you had it?
But I actually didn't know I had it until 2004 when I got tested for it in one of the clinics, the community clinics I was associated with, and because I had no symptoms whatsoever. And when I got tested, it was quite a shock to me.
Now, at that stage, what were the treatments and what was the prognosis?
At that stage, the treatment, the regime was quite tough. It would have been a drug called interferon, a drug called ribavirin, and it would have been for 11 months for the genotype I had. And to get through that would have been quite tough. A lot of people tried it and failed. The drugs didn't fail, the people failed, because the regime is quite tough. But today it's not like that. It has changed today, and today it is curable.
And there's a different kind of treatment now, which is not arduous at all.
Yeah, Pat, there's totally new drugs now, you know, and direct acting antiviral drugs, and the regime is only for 8 to 12 weeks, tablet-based, minimum side effects and cure attached to it, which is fantastic.
Now, Lara, at the time when, you know, a lot of people with addiction were concerned about various diseases, Hep C might not have been the big thing they were worried about.
Yeah, well, we have come across a lot of people who would be given the diagnosis even that you've only got hepatitis C, you're lucky you don't have HIV. And so there was a lot of misinformation around hepatitis C, plus it wasn't deemed so important. But it has come across that its nickname is the silent killer, because there is no symptoms to a lot of people having hepatitis C.
Yeah. So the objective here is probably to try and get everyone who might have been exposed to it, who has contracted it, to get tested. And I'm not sure how you'd go about that.
Yeah, well, as you have mentioned at the start, there's potentially 15,000 to 20,000 people undiagnosed living with hepatitis C in Ireland. And we need to just get the message out, as it being World Hepatitis C Day today, is who are these people and could I possibly be one of them? So as you have said, if you have used intravenously before or experimented with drugs, there may be a lot of guilt and shame around that. People don't want to admit that. Some people who had interacted with drugs and then moved on in their lives. And then there's other people through tattooing, through multiple sexual partners. And if you had been in them risk categories, it is suggested that you go and get yourself tested just to be sure, to eliminate it, that you don't have it, because you may be carrying it and have no symptoms to it.
Yeah, there was a big scandal in Eastern Europe as well about contaminated blood products, which gave people Hep C. And of course, it's asymptomatic for many, many people. So many Eastern Europeans came to work here and they could be silent carriers of it. So again, that's something else worth considering. Sophie is listening to our conversation. Sophie, how did you discover that you had it?
I was actually getting extensive blood tests done. I can't exactly remember whether it was the beginning of my menopause or whether it was at the time I was having problems with my legs. My legs, I was getting pains in them when I touched them. So it was extensive blood tests for one of those two things. And at the time when they did the extensive blood test, they noticed that one of the proteins was actually a higher rate than it should have been. So they decided to do tests to find out exactly why that protein was higher. And it was only through doing those tests that they discovered that what was going on in my body was I had hepatitis C.
When you got that news, I mean, first of all, you'd be wondering, can I be treated? Can I be cured? What are the downstream effects of this diagnosis? And secondly, how did I contract it?
Exactly, yes. I mean, that is exactly what was going on in my head, because I knew that, I'm somebody who'd actually has a fear of needles. Now, when you go to a tattoo artist, it's more like a little gun with a needle on it than it is like a needle. I'm somebody who, when I was younger, going a doctor wanting to take my bloods, I'd be have my head turned in the other direction, absolutely terrified. So I knew that, what was the way that you hear about that would be an impossibility for me. And then I started doing research into exactly what hepatitis is, the different methods of contact, etc., etc. And the only thing that I could work out was I got tattoos back. I'm 53 now. I'm back in my early 20s. That's how long that I was asymptomatic. And the only thing that I can work out is when I was getting those tattoos done. And I remember telling someone about getting those tattoos done. And I was asked which office, which business did I get them done in? And I'm not going to mention the name in case of libel. I mean, it's a long time closed, but how and ever. That particular, at the time, I didn't know, but he was renowned for not cleaning his equipment.
So you have concluded, the evidence is there, circumstantial though it may be, but you've ruled out everything else. So you probably picked up your Hep C in a tattoo parlour.
Yes.
When you got then a confirmed diagnosis of Hep C, what did they tell you about what might have happened had you not been diagnosed?
That I could have cirrhosis of the liver or liver cancer, which I found extremely frightening.
At the time
when I got diagnosed, the new treatment hadn't arrived in this country yet. It was still being worked on in the labs in America. And I had to, because of other diagnoses that I've had in my life, I was not in the category of people who could actually safely use interferon. So I was brought back to the hospital every 6 months to be kept an eye on, to have a liver scan, to make sure that it didn't get to a stage where there could be a chance that it might be better to use interferon, because it was kind of like a balance between that medication and the side effects, and which one would be worse. So I was actually one of the first people in this country to receive the new medication.
How are you today? Has it worked very well?
It worked brilliantly, I must say, because as soon as I started the medication, when I was brought back, just before I started it, I'm just going to add, my numbers had doubled, my blood count. And I found that extremely frightening, because all I was told was that the number had doubled. Now, your blood count can be that low that, like, it doubling could be like, say, for example, from 2 and 2 equals 4. 4 is the double of 2. And it's such a low number. But because I wasn't told it was such a low number, because I had to wait for a month with the fear going through my head that I could be heading for cirrhosis, etc., just from the fact that I was told that my number had doubled without being told that it was so low to begin with, that was nothing to
Nothing to worry about at that point, but still terrifying until you got clarification. Anyway, you are well now. And the message, really, Sophie, from you and from Lar is that if you have any reason when you look back at your life to think that you may have come in contact with either a needle, a tattoo, whatever it might be, sexual partners, maybe blood products that might leave you or have left you susceptible to Hep C, go and get a blood test to at least rule it out and leave your mind at rest.
Yes, I mean, Pat, when I consider that I had actually been living for almost 3 decades completely asymptomatic without this in my, without knowing I had this, I mean, you could go, there could be people who are living almost 4 decades going back to the time in Ireland where blood, where our blood products weren't examined Indeed. In the way that they are now. So people could have contracted it in that way. So you could actually have people, I'm in my 50s now, but you could have people actually in their 60s who have it and don't even know that they have it. So like anybody who's received blood products, come across any, had a needle injury, had a tattoo done, et cetera, et cetera. That everybody needs to be tested, and it needs to, and any stigmatization that says that it's just drug users, that needs to be eradicated so that the disease itself can be eradicated.
All right, Sophie, we will leave it there. Thank you very much for joining us. Sophie, who believes she contracted it from a tattoo parlor, and Lar Murphy, who himself was a drug user at the time and knows pretty much how he contracted. The message is on this Hepatitis Day, World Hepatitis Day, is if you have any doubts at all, get yourself checked out.